Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I want to share about what's happening with ISIS and how the church has been able to come on in and be able to rescue the refugees and giving them a place. CBN is reporting this. Understand that the tide has turned here quite a bit. The Kurds have been able to, in Iraq, take control of the Mosul Dam, the Mosul Dam there, because ISIS had it. And they were saying that if ISIS flooded that dam, it would affect all the way down to Baghdad. It was just, I mean, it was huge. I believe almost 500,000 people could have been killed in that process. And so now that's back in the hands of the Kurds. And you're going to hear about what some of the things that the church has been able to do to provide a safe place for the countless thousands of Christians and Yazidis that have been, you know, stuck on this mountain. Many of these children died of dehydration. Some of them lost their lives. And I want you to watch this and get encouragement.
A Kurdish church opens its doors to Iraqi Christians fleeing ISIS. Hello, everyone. I'm Wendy Griffith. George Thomas is on assignment. In northern Iraq, the scourge of ISIS has forced thousands of refugees into a life without homes, jobs, and even family. Many are Christians who tell tales of horror and brutality at the hands of the Jihad army. Now they face an uncertain future. But CBN's Chris Mitchell shows us how churches are helping fill that void with help and hope. Here's his report from Erbil, Kurdistan.
Over this past week, the army of ISIS swallowed up parts of Iraq like a darkness. In just one day, tens of thousands of Christians fled villages like Karakush and Bartila, just about 25 miles away. Most have come here to Erbil with nothing more than the clothes on their back.
They take everything from the house, from the store, everything. And they take like a machine, everything, because they are Christian. Just the name Christian. They hate Christian especially. We don't know why.
It was leave or die.
They say if anyone don't become like Muslim, we're going to kill it. Kill it. Each one, from baby and the woman, one, old man.
We don't have anything here. They bombed the churches and already took our houses. We have nothing here. No money, no ID, no travel documents.
What's happening now to the Christians, to the Yazidis, to the minorities, and like in the last couple of days, mostly to the Christians, is it's a genocide. What's happening is what happened 200 years ago with the Jews.
Dr. Ahmed hears stories of the barbarism of ISIS.
That ISIS was killing, shooting the kids and the people, and they are laying them on the ground, and they bring tractors that they walk over them in the front of their families. They take women out of their houses. So let's say every each family that they have three daughters, they would take one.
In the wake of the ISIS advance, thousands of ethnic Yazidis escaped to a mountain outside the town of Sinjar, while these Christians found shelter at this Catholic compound in Erbil. A few weeks ago, these families fled when ISIS cleansed Mosul of Christians. ISIS gave them an ultimatum.
They gave us four choices, either convert to Islam or paying tax or leaving the city or the sword. They are using the sword to cut off hand and also beheading others. So I don't think this is the behavior of human beings, but wild animals do that.
ISIS looted their properties and left them destitute. They took this woman's dentures, wedding ring, and documents.
They took everything. We asked them, please give us something to show that we owned our car, our home. They said, here you have nothing.
ISIS searched the home of one Christian in Mosul and discovered these two New Testaments, one with a camouflage on the cover and the other with an American flag inside. They accused him of being both a missionary and a spy. ISIS put his name on a list. He told his story, but asked us to hide his identity.
Hey, stop, get back. You are a Christian. The terrorist told me we will kill you.
Sometimes the pressure is overwhelming.
Jesus, save me. Oh, the terrorists. Forgive them. Forgive them. Because they didn't know. They didn't know what they were, what they act.
Even though these Christians are the original people of the region, many simply want to leave. They're pleading for the U.S., the U.N., and Pope Francis to help.
We are asking the responsible states of the international community to come and look and see how all the people are living here.
Where can you go when you've lost almost everything?
Many of the churches in Erbil literally opened their doors for the many Christian refugees that fled the advance of ISIS. They simply feel that it's the church's calling to provide refuge for families like these.
The Kurdsman Church transformed their building into a true sanctuary.
The building is for the humanity.
Pastor Majid Mohammed opened doors for both Christians and non-Christians.
We wanted to show those people we don't care that they are Christians, Yazidis, Muslims. We don't care about that because they are human beings and they have been fired out, kicked out at their home by ISIS and the terrorist groups. So this is why we wanted to show them that. As a Christians, we love them and we are very glad to have them here and serve them.
This man led a mini exodus of several families to the Kurdsman Church.
On behalf of all the people right here, Pastor Majid is really showing the love of Jesus.
Across town at the Ankawa AOG Church, families who are now safe talked about the violent ultimatum they faced.
We have been told by ISIS if we don't convert to Islam, either they will kill us or we will have to leave the city.
For most, it wasn't a choice at all.
We prefer to die rather than convert to Islam. God has created us as Christians and we don't want to convert to Islam. The power of God keeps us and strengthens us to remain as Christians.
Most will never return, like this policeman, who escaped with his family and 10-day-old baby.
I am already wanted by the Islamic groups over there. And secondly, I am a Christian. As a minority, I am also wanted by ISIS, so we cannot go back there anymore.
Most told us they simply want to leave Iraq.
This is the only way or the only solution for our problem because we cannot go back to our home and we cannot stay here. We want to go out. Even if they provided international protection, we don't want to keep staying here.
Their long-term fate remains one of the major questions in this humanitarian crisis. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Erbil, Kurdistan.
Amazing. Absolutely beautiful. It's the church that was stepped up in there and helped all of these Christians and Muslims as well that were stranded on this mountain.
I don't care.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I don't care who they are.
Yeah. He says, I don't care. Bring them all in here because we want to help them. And that's what it's all about, you know, to see people that left, had to leave their home, had to leave their way of life, had to leave their documents, their vehicles, everything. Mm-hmm. And they left with the clothes on their back. That one police officer had a child who was only 10 days old. Could you imagine? I mean, a baby that's come fresh out of the hospital, I mean, there's so much care and so much stuff that you want to do to protect the child from germs and you Germex everybody and all these different things to keep, you know, the baby healthy. And here you have a 10-day-year-old baby that's been transported and moved across, you know, the country. And, you know, it just makes you think, man, God, you're just so amazing. And we're just so thankful for the church there that was able to provide all of the help for them. Also, too, you know, think about, you know, ISIS has been pushed back and now they're being dealt with. But there was a recent message that was being conveyed. And it's important that we get involved and that we pray and that we're watchful because understand that, you know, the strategy for ISIS is once they deal with the Christians and the Jews, that they're ready to come after the United States. And in fact, they've already gave notice and said that we are in the United States. We are in your cities. And posted a picture in front of the White House saying, we're here. I want you to listen to this segment and see what's happening. We were talking about before the break how the church, Christians, were able to help non-Christians, Christians, Muslims, get off of that mountain and provided a place of sanctuary, a place of safety. And you heard from some of the Christians, they're saying, we can't go back. We're wanted people. They're going to kill us. And one lady said, it's the power of God that strengthens us to remain Christians. We will not deny our faith.
That's right.
And it's such a beautiful thing to know that people are staying and standing with Jesus. I mean, like Peter said, where else can I go?
Exactly.
But when you're facing death like that, not just threats, but when you have seen children be beheaded, when you've seen children die on a mountain, and people die on a mountain because of dehydration, causes you to really say, okay, what do I believe, and in whom do I believe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me think of a recent post that we had about Urban Kanner, and he was a Muslim, and he encountered the church, and he was just overtaken by how the church loved him, and he came to know the Lord because of that. And it's just so beautiful to see that the most powerful thing that we can do is love, regardless of what people's ideas are. And I love what that pastor said. It's like, we love people because they're human beings. Yeah. And it's just like, how beautiful is that?
Yeah, we want to show them the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then let me tell you, love is way stronger than hate because love melts hearts. And that's what we need to be about, melting people's hearts. But we want to continue our coverage on ISIS and talk about what's happening with ISIS because they've been dealt with and they're being dealt with right now. I mean, the Kurds have gotten the upper hand here in terms of securing the dam, which was a huge thing, the Mosul Dam in Iraq, because they could have flooded it. Mm-hmm. ISIS could have, and it could have flooded all the way down to Baghdad. It's a major source of water. And so, things are going back and forth, if you will, but they must be dealt with because even right now, ISIS is saying, we are here in the United States. And they were so bold and brazen to send a picture on social media with the White House and a flag and a statement saying, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want you to see this segment so that you can be informed, so that you can know how to pray, and so that now you can fit in context. This discussion on the borders, this is why this is important. We need to secure the borders. Watch this.
President Obama announced there will be no need for the United States to rescue stranded Yazidis from Iraq's Mount Sinjar. That's because few people are still there.
We broke the ISIL siege of Mount Sinjar. We helped vulnerable people reach safety, and we helped save many innocent lives.
But Yazidi leaders disagree, telling the New York Times the crisis isn't over. And despite President Obama's assurances, the United Nations says the situation is still dire.
The United Nations has declared a level 3 emergency for Iraq, the highest global humanitarian priority for the UN and partner agencies.
Meanwhile, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki broke the political power struggle in Baghdad, saying he's stepping aside after 8 years as prime minister. Prime Minister-designate Haider al-Abadi now has less than 30 days to form a new government. Iraqi political analyst Karim Hassan Jaber says Maliki's replacement will need to correct past mistakes.
The new prime minister has two main tasks to achieve. The first is to fight terrorism, and the second is to fight the financial corruption which has prevailed in government institutions.
And the new prime minister will need to do more to stop the advance of the Islamic State in Iraq. U.S. intelligence officials warn that the Islamic State has now gained momentum. That will be difficult to halt in Iraq and Syria. And they say the Islamic terrorists intend to prove their power far beyond the Middle East. They warn the Islamic State may attempt a terrorist strike in Europe or the United States to assert itself as the true leader of the international jihadist movement. And the Islamic State is using social media to advance its in-your-face propaganda. This photo of an ISIS flag was taken in Washington, right in front of the White House. And there was a warning, we are in your state, we're in your cities, we are in your streets. Gary Lane, CBN News.
If you remember that here recently, there was in New Jersey, the township, there was a township in New Jersey, I believe it was Winslow Township, in Camden County, where a man had the same flag, the same ISIS flag flown outside of his home. And he said that he was celebrating his religion, Islam, and then there was some Muslims that came out and said, oh, that has nothing to do with Islam. That has to do with jihad and ISIS.
Right.
And so you're seeing this. Listen, this is why this conversation on the border is so important.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are here wanting to do us harm. When I lived in New Jersey, unbeknownst to me, that less than 7 minutes from where I lived, two young men were actually arrested because they were plotting some sort of attack on JFK Airport in New York. And they were 8 minutes from my house.
Wow.
And so they're all around. They're sleeper cells. And you just don't know. And so it's just important. And we don't say this to be alarmist. We just say so that we're not naive and that we're informed. Mm-hmm. We're living in a different day right now. And who would have thought that the United States could be attacked? Who would have thought that on 9/11, two of the of our country's tallest buildings, I mean, I've been there. When my father worked for the in the World Trade Center for Shears and Lehman Brothers years ago, and as a young, you know, person, a teenager, I went with my dad to work, and you just don't understand how big these buildings are were. I mean, they were huge. I can remember he would be working, and I'd be riding the elevator all day. You know, I was young, middle school. And these elevators, I mean, it's just you go on for floors for days, you know, up and down. And I'd go to the very top and I'd say, hey, I'll be back for a while. I'll come back. And I would go and explore the building. And I could be on the very top of the tower. And you can see that the tower sways back and forth. You could see the other tower moving. It was so tall. And although there was like off the wall, there was about, I don't know, maybe 5 feet. There was some sort of barrier up against the window. Mm-hmm. You still didn't even want to approach that close because you knew how high. You could see into New Jersey. I mean, it was just some of the most amazing views.
Right.
But to actually think that those buildings could be hit the way they were, I mean, no one saw that coming. Mm-hmm. Very few people saw that coming. And so when you start talking about, you know, people in our country now to do us harm, oh, that will never happen. Hello, that's what they said about the Twin Towers. You know, it's important that we secure our borders. It's important that we get, we understand what's happening and what's coming on in.
And you think about it, I mean, in a recent program, we talked about the fact of just the whole situation about anti-Semitism. And there was a comment that was made that somebody had said, it's basically straight ignorance. It's the fact that we don't know the history. We don't know why all these things are happening. And it's the same thing. Truth is, you know, it's sad to think there are people that would want to do harm to America, but there is. And it's just like to wake up and just see that and to see what's going on in the world. And that's why we talked about, and also in past programs, it's just like being a global citizen, understanding, or being a global Christian and understanding, it's just like there are people outside of the borders of America. There is life outside of the 300 million people that make up America. We make up 5% of the global population, and having an understanding and seeing what's going on a global scale. And it's just like, we need to wake up to what's happening, because if we don't, that ignorance is going to blind us. And then all of a sudden we're going to find out it's in our backyard.
Yeah. And if you're a Christian and you're living in this country, you know, hey, let's try to hold on to the liberties and the freedoms that we have. We've discussed on the previous programs, a book that we're going through, Rediscovering God in America, and we're going to continue that in the next program. But you go back and you say, man, this is a great country that was founded with the intent for folks coming to find the land that they can worship God. Actually, Jews and Christians both came here so they can worship God freely. And it's a terrible thing to lose because of our ignorance, because of our apathy, because of our pride, and we don't think that things like this can happen. You know, we've talked about this extensively, that if we want to have, we want as many people to come to our nation as possible. Listen, if you want to come, this is a blessed land, but that you have to become the right way. You got to become a citizen of the United States. You have to pledge allegiance to this country, and you don't want to bring in divisive things that are going to separate our country, much less war or anything else. Listen, we can stand against this, but, you know, divided we fall. Together we stand, and we can stand for America, we can stand for the safety of our borders, and we can put an end to radical terrorists that are trying to destroy not only our country, but countries all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.